Let us explore the Bible together on Glorious Morning Study Hour on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
So it's been said that complaining is anti-worship. It's as though you're saying, you're declaring actually, that God has not done enough. So we're going to be diving into the psychology and theology of the grumble reflex from the Israelites in the wilderness who had miracles on their plates, but Egyptian onions on their minds. It was just not enough what they possessed. We saw how a lack of thankfulness can actually blind us to the very presence of God in our presence, in our midst, in our now. So how do we trade, that's you and I now, how do we trade a poverty mindset for a heart that recognizes the manna that's already falling on our lives? And how can we use prayer as a weapon against a spirit of grumbling, of whining, of complaining? So do join us as we converse this morning in our scripture spotlight, looking at making practical gratitude as a gateway to joy. How do we break the spirit of complaint through prayer? Talk to us, share your thoughts, your comments. We want to hear from you. +27 734 470 3520. That's +27 734 470 3520. Guiding us in this conversation as we are going through this week, Pastor Lincoln Chifamba Mfundisi. Say good morning and welcome.
Good morning, my friend. How are you?
No, we're doing okay, Pastor. And yourself?
I'm more than well. Coming from Ethiopia, it was powerful. Trust me, it was.
We praise God. Thank you so much, Mfundisi. Thank you so much. Pastor, we are trying to find how we can live a life of joy that is founded on gratitude. Well, why is a complaining spirit considered the opposite of prayerful gratitude, right? And is it not simply an acknowledgement that something isn't as it should be, that there is a lack that we hope would have been dealt with?
You know, when you are talking about complaining, there is one thing that comes to my mind. Generally, before we even link it with prayer,
okay,
a person normally complains is not a happy person. I'm just complaining about, oh, the weather is too hot, I can't even see the blessing of the sun shining upon my plants. Oh, it's too cold. Oh, it's too rainy. I can't even see the blessing of God giving me water.
Yeah.
There is too much water now. There is too much rain. The rain should just stop. I don't even see the blessing that comes along with the rains. Now let's come to this one. Why is complaining considered the opposite of a prayerful gratitude?
Yeah.
You know, complaining in this case now, it clouds certain things. Complaining clouds the good things that come from God. God is good. He knows what's best for us. We are His children.
Yeah.
He is our Father. The moment we start to complain, we then begin to shut our eyes, cloud our eyes, close our eyes in terms of seeing how good our Father is. And complaining, by the way, also leads to lack of peace. Okay. You know, when Christ was coming in John, He says, you know what? I came so that you guys can have peace. Peace I live with you. Now when I begin to complain, the element of peace disappears. I no longer have got peace. Yet as a Christian, the joy principle should lead me to having peace.
Okay.
When I'm complaining, I'm no longer in a position to see Jesus. But by the way, when we are talking about joy, we are simply saying Jesus first, others next, you last. And take note of this. People who normally complain, they normally prioritize self. I, me. They don't prioritize others. I cannot give because I do not have enough. Things like this. But yet, if we were to go back to the joy principle, Jesus would give me whatever He has given me. I will share with others. If I lack, I will go back to God. So I'm saying the joy principle is founded on not complaining. If I complain, there is lack of peace.
Yeah.
And guess what? Yeah. The more there is lack of peace, fear comes in. When fear comes in, fear is the opposite of faith. Remember, without faith, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it is impossible to please God.
Yeah.
if you remove faith, I just can't please God. For the Bible says, whoever draws near to God must believe that God exists. He rewards those that. So I have got a bank check. Its signature or its pin code is faith. But complaining, the devil has put in complaining as a mechanism to disturb the faith. Once I fear, I've got no faith. Without faith, answered. So the complaining chain continues. It's like poverty. There are some people who do not want to break the chains of poverty. We have been given principles of breaking the chains of poverty. We, of course, it's a topic for the principle is, you know what, be faithful to God, return that which belongs to God. God will bless you.
Yeah.
But the devil say, you know, you've got too little. At the end of the day, you end up complaining. So fear. Once I begin to fear, all things collapse. And then Philippians chapter 4 then ceases to exist. Philippians 4 verse 6, the Bible says, hey, don't worry about anything.
Yeah.
Don't worry about anything. But in everything, pray about it. So the moment of complaining, I will begin to worry. And the moment I worry, verse 7, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. And by the way, that term understanding is substituted for a term expectations. The moment I worry, the peace of God disappears. So in my books, complaining does what? Complaining does a very simple thing. Complaining shatters all the good things that God that God gives us.
You mentioned prayer, Mfundisi. Yeah, thank you. I want to say you mentioned prayer. How is that also like the opposite? Because you're mentioning how fear is the opposite of faith and vice versa. Prayer, they say sometimes it's the antidote of complaining. How does that work? Can't you find someone who prays complaining to God? Or when you get into an attitude of prayer, it actually does away, dispels that spirit of complaining.
I will say to you and me as well, when we are praying, what is prayer? Let's go back. Prayer is communicating with God. Now, when you're communicating with God constantly, when you're friends with God, you'll get to a point where you're not complaining about certain issues, but now where you're just making a conversation. God, A, B, C, D hasn't happened. Please, can you do something? There's a very big difference between complaining, saying this I cannot take, hey, why this on me, why this on me, and making a conversation. Hence, perhaps sometimes the prayer that we're supposed to pray is, Lord, teach us to pray, so that in our quest to pray, we do not complain, but we make it, and we are surrendering to God. I am surrendering the things that displease me to God. It's different than to go to God and kneel and say, Lord, if I'm your child, why are you doing this to me? Yep. Have you forsaken me?
Yep. It's not the same thing at
all. So we need to. Those two things are just close to each other, by the way. There is a thin line between complaining and telling God what displeases you.
What is it that people are not praying? That's why we are finding so many people complaining. What it could be that is hindering us from being found as the people who pray often, right? What is it that's blocking us? And how can we turn that hindrance into actually a prayer point?
Number one, know who you're praying to. It's not that we don't know how to. It's not that we're not praying, no. But sometimes we don't know who we are praying to. If I know who I'm praying to, I'm praying to God, opening my heart to a father, opening my heart to a friend, you'll discover life begins to be simple. I am telling a friend, our biggest problem is that we want to use prayer as a password to get blessings, but yet we should use prayer as communicating with God. You know, there are some people that make prayer a ritual, a routine. I'm just going there to pray without a relationship. Build a relationship with God. This thing is like, okay, your partner, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your wife, If you make it a routine to talk to that person, hey, honey, good morning, it will become boring and the relationship will die. But if I make that person my friend, I'm looking forward to hearing from her. I'm looking forward to calling her. I just can't wait to get in touch with her. After she's done with work, I'll be in a position to talk to her.
Yeah.
Build the friendship first.
Yeah. Yeah.
And by the way, how do you build the friendship? Text each other. With my wife, we text each other, With God, God has sent you dozens of text messages. Read those text messages from the Bible. Read messages. Get in touch there. You discover, oh, okay, before I even complain, before I even ask for this thing, he has already given me this thing. All that I need to do is to what? Build a relationship with God. So build a relationship with God. As you build a relationship with God from the Bible, reading the Bible, you discover that prayer does not even become a routine. Prayer does not even become a ritual. But now I'm just going there to make a conversation. By the way, if you are making prayer a routine, if you are making prayer a ritual, you won't get the blessings. Yes, God will give you the blessings because His grace is sufficient for us, but you'll not get the blessings that you truly deserve.
Okay.
As opposed to if you are making prayer your lifestyle. I've seen people, I pray I get to that point. I've seen people who pray about everything. Who pray about everything, literally everything, small or big. The person is happy, the person prays. At one point when I was doing my, one senior pastor was, who was my mentor, he would say when he gets into the car, leaving from one house to another, just 3 houses away, he will say, let's pray. And he would pray. Done praying, we move, we get there, he prays. I was like, man, I was like, no. Pray about anything. Just tell God your strengths, your weaknesses, your joys. Even when you are happy, just pray to God.
Pray about everything. I was about to ask them, for instance, to say, how do you differentiate between prayer as a routine and prayer, like you're saying here, where it's about a relationship? Just to make it extra plain and extra clear, is it that way you just consider everything? Because I'm thinking, is it not just, doesn't it become a bit too much? Even if you are in a relationship with somebody, Muruti, and they tell you everything that they are doing, it becomes a bit, I don't know, man. Imagine your wife or your child telling you everything, I mean everything in the house. You're almost like, hey, surely you can do some of these things without having to communicate with me. I don't know. Just talk to somebody to say, how do you differentiate between prayer that's a lifestyle or prayer that's a routine that it becomes a bit mechanical?
Let me explain this point once again. The issue of relationships. If you are relating with somebody properly, you don't get bored when they tell you everything. If you are relating with somebody,
trust me.
If you are friends, you don't get bored when they are telling you about everything. That goes with God. When we tell God everything, remember, with God, we need the power from Him to do things. So when we are telling Him everything, believe you me, He doesn't get bored. I believe in that. He does not get bored. Instead, our biggest problem now is we even tell God things that which He has given us to do. And when we are doing so, we tell God things that are written plain. Okay, do this, I'll do this. Do this, I'll do this. But our biggest problem is that most of us as Christians now, we don't go back to the Bible to check as we are praying. Is it there? Are we doing faithfully? And once we are doing our part faithfully, you'll discover that you are telling God, instead of telling God to say, hey, God, I need APCD, you are going there to thank Him.
Six days
thou shalt labor. I do not labor. And I expect food from God. It's the opposite when I'm saying, God, thank you very much for the strength that you have given me to labor. I am thanking God. God has given us certain promises in the Bible. He has given us certain things to do. For example, He says, go ye therefore to preach.
Yeah.
He has mandated us to preach. Now, Lord, I'm going there to preach. I need the strength from you.
Mm.
So it's more of a connection. It's more of a relationship.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
you are even quoting what he has said to you. I believe uh-huh. it's not a bottom but to say, here, can you please do this for me? Which is founded in the Bible.
Yeah.
He has told me, I need the power. I'm going there to claim power. He has told me, I'm even coming back to report. Lord, I enjoy it going for witnessing. Lord, yeah. I'm going to work. Lord, I'm at work. I work with people who I do not know. If you ask those that believe in spiritual, African spiritual things, they will tell you they connect with their forefathers on almost everything. If the devil does not get tired, if the devil does not get tired of that, what more us with our father? Recently, I was in a bus doing my missionary journeys.
Okay.
I met this lady who was doing sangoma things. And I'm asking her, how do you do things? She says to me, I'll tell you something. I ask, whenever I'm doing something, I ask from the ancestors, including to get into a bus, I ask. And they even tell me, hey, as you are going to be prepared, you'll meet such and such and such a scenario. You'd meet such and such a person. And I asked her, did your forefathers now tell you that you would meet a pastor? She says, yes. And you would make a conversation that would try and lead me to Christ. I should not listen.
Okay.
So with the devil now, if those that are connected to the ancestors who believe in ancestral spirits, who don't believe in going to God, right?
Yeah.
Connecting every day and telling everything. Allow me to use this one. Are connecting everything. I'm saying this one carefully, asking for power from the devil to do their things. What more with God?
God. I want us to follow that up, Maruti, with a statement that the old church father once penned, Charles Spurgeon, was noted to have said, prayer is the breath of the soul. Of the renewed soul, right? Prayer is the breath of the renewed soul. What does it actually mean, and how do we apply that in everyday life, especially in the context you're raising of always being in communion with God?
You know, in simple terms, when you're saying so, this comes into my mind.
Yeah,
Charles is saying, once you give your life to Jesus, you are a renewed soul.
Okay,
you are born again.
Yeah.
Once you are born again, you cannot live without prayer. So in simple terms, as I walk, as I talk, as I do things, I should be in a prayerful mode. And by the way, when we are talking about prayer, we're not talking about you kneeling down now to say, we are getting into a shop, you're kneeling down, our Father God, as you are walking in, you are whispering prayer. Prayer is more like a background music, you know.
Okay.
You are doing your things in the background that is playing. I've seen when you're driving, there's music that is playing. You are telling a story at church, there's that background music, which is constant, which keeps the mind of the people connecting with what you're like that. Prayer should be like oxygen. One of our senior pastors, Dr. Stolle, would say, as you walk prayer, as you eat, it's prayer. Just stay connected with God. I believe that's what Charles is trying to say to us.
Yeah.
To say, hey, whatever you're doing, be connected with God. Let there be no minute where you're not connected with God. Whisper silent prayers as you are walking, as you are working, as you are crossing the road. While at least you are alert, whisper prayers. If you are communicating with God constantly, you will discover that sometimes, even if you meet temptations, God will give you the power to flee the temptations. You have to just serve some cuts into your way. Instead of saying a vulgar statement, you'll be like, oh God, help your child. I long for the way to get to that level.
Yeah.
Because there is no way up at that level. We strive each day to get to that level. As I speak to God's people, as I am preaching, I should be connected with God. As I am making a conversation with my children, I should be praying for them.
Yeah.
and they pray for them in my heart, then of course there should be times when I now make a clear conversation with God to say, okay, now this is my time to pray. This is my tech moment, time alone with God, where I'm now praying, where we are now talking, dear God, APT.
Yeah. And I think this attitude, Muruti, that you're raising is just basically saying it's something that's a fact, right? God is present everywhere, right? He's omnipresent. But prayer just brings that into cognizance, that you are living your life as one who truly is aware that God is present everywhere. Well, Mfundisi, we'll have to leave it here for today, but thank you so much for opening up our eyes in giving us this powerhouse that leaves room for us to then be grateful as we go through life. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless.
Thank you so much, Mfundisi Wami, Pastor Lincoln Chifamba. They're sharing with us this morning as we are looking at matters of gratitude this week. And he says that it's all about prayer. That's what you need to work on. I like how I think it was it's not clear who said these words, but they say that those who leave everything in God's hand will soon see God's hand in everything. Those who leave everything in God's hand will soon see God's hand in everything. May that be you.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.